So we're really focusing on fire, pretty much, right? I've come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled and blazing. Hopefully you guys have paper and pen. I'm going to do a little stuff on the whiteboard for those who are not here. You just have to have by see by faith. And that's it. what else am I going to do? I'm going to look at my notes. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. So fire in the Hebrew is two letters, and in the bonus meeting yesterday we talked a little bit about that, but fire, am I blocking this clock? Is there someone step on? Those 2 minutes is yours.
I'm in the wrong
place. No, you're good. Yeah. You were bad, and you were no good. He's mobile. So fire is two letters in Hebrew, and we talked about that Aleph is the first word in the word fire. Right? And we talked about, or mentioned that Aleph is divinity, Aleph is God. Aleph in most of God's names is in there, okay? So it has a whole deal about God, right? And the other letter, remember yesterday we did the Yahweh thingy? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's God's name, Jehovah, right? And we talked about the Jesus name is Yahweh Shin Vavheh. That's Yeshua, right?
Yeah.
We talked about the addition of a shin. It took, if you go into him, okay? And so fire is Aleph Shin. Okay?
Oh my.
Yeah, so, and the word shin is like this.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So we have God, right? And shin is really another representation for Jesus. So when I was looking at that, I'm going like, so fire is another name for God, and the fire is what we're going to talk about here. So we're going to see God from a whole different view about fire. And then when I met Julie, when we talked about movement last night I was thinking about how flames move, right? And I was like, so I'm watching the Godhead, the Father and the Son, with the fire, and you look at the flame, there's always this thing here.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, what? So last night I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute, if God is there, Aleph, and the Shin is Jesus, where's the Holy Spirit? Right? Curious minds want to know this kind of stuff, right? Start asking more questions, right?
Yes.
You ask questions, you get answered. So I'm thinking, and the Lord goes, when you look at, when you're building a little fire or charcoal daily, what do you do to increase the flame? Well, you have wood, or you blow on it. So the wind of the Spirit, right, is that. And so we were singing earlier, and I don't know if you saw that, we were singing that the hay, a bunch of stuff. Hey, well, the letter hey is the fifth letter in the Greek alphabet, okay? And hey is the fifth letter, and hey, some people, when they get moved, they go, hey! Well, hey is a Greek letter, and it actually stands for the Holy Spirit. So when the fire is burning, and you blow on it, it increases. So the Holy Spirit is the one that comes in the cool of the day, right? The Holy Spirit takes its flame, and he's there. So the thing that's weirder than that is, how do I do this right? So we know the story about Abram who became Abraham, right? I've heard that from a little kid, but last night I was studying it, and what God did was, let me get this right. So, because my Hebrew is not all that good yet, Abraham in the Hebrew is. Abram is, it's an Aleph, but I don't do it in English, so it's an A, and it's a B, and it's an R, and an M. Given that they do, you know, Hebrew from that way, this way, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So his name was Abram, and what God did was he made him Abraham. So I always thought, well, Ham is the God part. But what it is they added, or God added, an H right here. He added the hay, So pretty much, he took Abram and added the Holy Spirit and became a man who was called the father of new nations. And just like us, the way to get born again is we add the Holy Spirit. You know, in John 7, it says that, Jesus, I'm going to go away, but it's going to be to your advantage the Holy Spirit come. Okay? And so the other part is, and we sang also, God, if God is with us, we'll be fearless and stuff. And this is when we realize greater is He that's in us, not just with us, but in us, right? And I always, when I think about the in part, I think about how the simplicity of a glove sitting on the table is just a glove. But when you put your hand in a glove, then that glove could do some impossible things, right? You know, but a glove by itself is just this, you know, glove, you throw it around. When you put your hand in the glove, you can help pick things up. You actually get people to. You can work out, use the bar, the ropes and stuff. But we've got to realize that we're not in this on our own. There's someone dwelling inside of us. And we need to acknowledge the indwelling fire, right? It's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The whole Godhead is dwelling inside of us. So fire isn't just fire, right? When Jesus said, and the scripture says again, I've come to cast fire upon the earth. Okay, well, fire, what does that mean? To come destroy everything? If fire in the Greek is really God and Jesus, and He says, I'd rather be kindled or burning, or blazing. What is blazing fire? It's God in His glory. It's us in our fullness. So He came to set fire out there so we'd all catch fire, and we'd be fully engrossed with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus and God. And so, and we know that we had a conversation about the fire and you know, when fire touches your life, things are different. In the natural, they're way different, right?
Way different.
But in the spiritual, if we can have a blazing fire on the inside, and Jeremiah said, like fire, shut up my bones. If we would learn how to walk in that fire, right? So, In the Hebrew, again, I talked about how you can, if you understand what these words mean, stuff. Now here's one for you. The picture for hay, the pictura is this. It's a man. So God added a man to Abraham. Because it's impossible to do things around. We need the indwelling force. The might, the fire of God. You can't do this stuff on your own. You can't do it with your head knowledge of God. He has to be in there. And you have to be able to cooperate with the new resident alien, right?
Come on, that's so good. Yeah.
So there's an alien in you, right? And you can either rebel or get it cut out, right? I saw the alien a bunch of times. That's the newest one.
There's
but
a new one. Have
I know, now I've seen the new one. But He said, I'm living in you. Emmanuel is God with us, but it's actually God in us, right? And we need to figure out how do we dwell with this all-consuming fire, right?
Yes, Lord.
Now, look at my little bad notes here. So one of the, Aleph is, the picture is an ox head, like that. So it's an ox. And the shin is, it looks like teeth, and it is teeth, okay? And it's like two teeth, right? So you go ox head and teeth, and you put that together, and I talked to you about Paleo Hebrew, and every Hebrew letter has a picture with it, right? Mm-hmm. So the teeth, thing. So I've been, the last few years, going, well, what's this mean? And again, in the Hebrew language, each letter means something, right? Our alphabet, A just means A, and B means B. There's no value to it. In the Hebraic alphabet, everything has value. So, you know, the scripture says that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, you know? It means His word is value. His word's alive. It's living, you know? His words are living. It means they have a purpose. Every letter means something. So, when you put the ox head and this together, I've been asking the Lord, okay, what's this mean? And He gave me this. The interpretation of these two letters is, enter the fire, and the fire, you know, so we enter the fire, it's the strong press, so this is strong, and this is press, You enter the strong person, you come out conformed to his image.
Hmm.
Yes, Lord.
See, if you learn how to embrace the fire, and you've all seen something about, you know, either the Westerns where they're putting the heat in the fire and they're beating the little things, or we've seen some of the HGTV when they're making swords. We all know that fire is needed to bring metals together. Fire is needed to do stuff. And I talked a little bit yesterday about the first word in the beginning, Bereshit, the six-letter word, the two letters, the first two letters and the last two letters, those four letters mean covenant. Okay? So Bereshit means a covenant of fire. As in, you cannot be molded within love without the fire.
Can you spell?
I can do that. I got to hear
something. Covenant of fire, I love.
Yeah, so Bereshit in the English is B E R E S H I T. In the Hebrew, it's this, my Aleph, and Shen. So you got fire right there, right? And you got the shoop, and whatever it is. So these two letters here, these last two, and the first two, those four letters mean covenant. And we just talked about this is fire right here, right?
Whoa.
So in the beginning, if you look at the literal, in the beginning, you're like, in the beginning. Beginning is first not a time thing, it's a place. Okay? So beginning is not time, it's place, right? Beginning is a location. In the location called beginning, right? I created. In the covenant of fire, I created stuff.
Yeah. Lord,
and fire is God. So in me, I created all this. If you read John 1, it says, all things are held together, they're in Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is the beginning. The beginning is a place.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
So unless you embrace the fire, you can't start. You can't start your life until you have a covenant with fire.
Yes,
which
Lord.
Is a relationship. Covenant is all a relationship, right?
Jesus.
You cannot live this life without relationship with him. It's hard not to live a relationship with people, but to live the life, this high life, the real life you're called to live, you have to be in covenant with the fire, and we know that God's an all-consuming fire. Mm-hmm. Fire is one of his names. And if you know about, if you start studying the Bible, the names about, names are attributes. Names are characteristics. They're describing the identity of someone. So what are the attributes of fire? We're going to talk about that. What are the stages of fire? What really is fire? Fire is more than something that just burns people. And I was not laughing at you, sir.
Twice.
Mine's worse, though. When I lived in England, I was burning some fire up there. I had my daughter watching her big man father. she was not two yet. Had her little thingy because I was babysitting that day, and I was trying to get rid of the dead wood. So I had a little pile of burning up here, and I thought, let's have two piles. Now, you should never, all those who do so, you know that you shouldn't be burning stuff underneath trees that have dead things in them.
Mm.
I didn't know that. So the heat grew, and all of a sudden, these, I don't know, they're higher than 20 feet, 20-foot putt of trees started just, all went up in flames. And so here I am with a little hose, trying to put out these burning trees. And then the disappointing decision happened. I can try to do this and be a hero or save my daughter.
Yeah.
And so I dropped the hose, grabbed my daughter, and ran inside. Meanwhile, my British neighbors are going, the American is burning down England. And so then my neighbor tried to bring their hose over, and they couldn't make it. They're like going, and these beautiful trees, which I have no idea how long it took them to grow that high, were gone. And so I'm thinking like, well, so it wasn't my house. I'm thinking, how is my company going to take care of these trees? Right? And when they were majestic, with dead stuff in them, but they got replaced by these little tiny trees. I'm thinking, I move after that, I'm thinking, what? These trees, are they going to make it back to the 40-footers or whatever? But fire is an amazing thing. That's why those people who set fires, the pyro people, you know, you get into that, because fire is neat. It looks like it's living, right? It's doing something, and I don't think I'm liking my Skype people binging something up here. So we're going to talk about fire, right? Mm-hmm. From the king's perspective, from a different way than I've ever thought about it. I would have never gone here unless she'd have given the verse, you know. And I was going like, what's here? What's here? What is here? What can we do? What are we going to do with fire? It's got to be weird stuff. I'm sorry, guys. I can't do it with my ping ping.
It's not bothering us.
Are you guys good?
It's not bothering me.
Okay, I'll be unbothered too. So,
ignore the baby.
So, as I was studying what is fire, I thought about. Oh, let's read this from Google. The ancient Greeks believed that fire was one of the four basic elements. We all heard earth, wind, and fire stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That composed all things in the universe. So in mythology, and in every culture, fire, if you look at, I'm a little bit of First Nation myself. I got Cherokee and Choctaw. One side of the family is Cherokee, one side is Choctaw. Wow. And if you watch any movies on the planet, you know, fire is always important to life, you know, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And so fire, I remember one summer I was working at a sports camp and I was trying to keep my weight up for football. And we're out in the wilderness, it was a rainy day, and rain and water and fire would go well together. So it was raining and cold, but I had to eat because I had to keep my weight for football. And it was a downpour. But there's something about when you're really motivated, you can do some amazing things, right? So in a pure downpour with everything wet, somehow I made fire so I could boil the water, so I could put the dehydrated food in there so I could eat some very bad tasting food. But my campers were watching from the dry part of their tent, looking out of why is he out there? Because I was desperate and hungry. Yeah. And it's something about when you're desperate and hungry for the things of God, and we talked about the scripture about God conceals the matter, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. And if you'll spend the time searching out things, you will get answers that will change your life, right? Mm-hmm. And as I was being diligent to study out this fire thing, I was being surprised of all of the godly, heavenly principles of what fire is about. Because I just kind of thought fire was nice, you know, I like hot food, and that's a good thing. But I had no relevance in scriptures about fire set my bones and baptismal fire. Those were all kind of irrelevant because I didn't know the value of fire. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that fire was, in God's eyes, was part of covenant, and he actually calls himself fire. And I'm like going, so fire may be important to me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to share with you some things I found out about fire this weekend and why Jesus thought it was so important that he would say, I came to send fire on the earth. Now again, everything Jesus says is important, but do we know why it's important? Mm-hmm. If you figure out why it's important, then you can partner with it, accept it, embrace it. When I first read the scripture, I'm thinking like, well, that's a nice saying. That's as far as it went. You know, it meant nothing to me when you first gave me the scripture. Alright? But then I started digging into it. And I found out that a hollow witch was already kindled. I said, what does kindled mean? You know? Kindle means blazing fire. I was like, so you came to some fire on the earth and then you want it really hot. And I went, Jesus, what? I thought you came for my salvation. I thought you came for this. So I can't bring fire. There's more to it, right? And so whatever the Lord highlights on something, this wasn't highlighted to me, it was given to me. Well, you're going to teach on this. Okay, well, I love you guys. Like, it's okay. You know. Then it was like, Lord, what is here? Because when I got it, I didn't have anything. This was not in my storehouse. I heard no one talk about this before. It was just like, Holy Spirit, hello, we need some help here.
Those Lynchburg people, they're expecting something from you. I'm not going to perform anymore. You know, I used to perform. That doesn't go well. So you better show up. So yeah, I got a few months here, but come on. He loves a challenge. I thought it was a challenge. He was like going, about time someone asked.
Oh.
And I'm like, is there something here?
Hallelujah.
Hang on, buddy. You know, and just that right there blew my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, just the Hebrew for fire. And then when we went to fires in the covenant, and I'm like going, what are you? Yeah. I'm like, and so who is this guy that hides things for us to find?
Yeah.
He's not hiding things so you'd be frustrated. He's hiding things so you'll get off your butt, kick your desire in, kick your intent in. A lot of us think, well, no one here thinks this, but there's the thought that, well, now that I've turned towards him, he's just going to give me stuff. Well, it's not that he doesn't give. He says, here, it's in my hand, but you have to get up and reach it, put it on. You have to engage it. You just can't go, thank you, make me work. No, you got to put on this mantle. You got to figure out how it works for you, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to exercise this stuff in the right way. Good. But there's no... the kingdom, you have to be full on, you know? And you can't judge yourself by age, by background, by what you have or don't have. You got to realize, once you engage with the king, who's good, has all resources, it's a new game. Once you find out, I'm called to, you know, we're here in Lynchburg, Virginia, and you feel, I'm called to do something here. Well, if you look at your own resources, and you have a poverty mindset, you're going, well, I'm just going to be frustrated until I die, because no one's listening to me, and no one comes to my house, and I'm supposed to raise up a... But if you... I'm used to looking outward, but if the kingdom of God is within me, and the whole God is there, I need to go, so what are we doing about Lynchburg? Not, what am I doing? And we got to figure out what his strategy is, right?
Yes.
Okay? And not act like he's giving you something impossible to do. All things are possible with God. Okay? They're not possible on your own. And once you cross that bridge of, okay, he's asking me to do something that I can't do in my own strength. And he's not laughing at us. He sent the, hey, a man to dwell within you. To help you. You're a vessel. You're a glove. But once he comes in there, that glove is mighty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that combination. You've got to realize who the you are. You're one. Echad, or one of the things of God, is Echad, which means one. He's invited you into his oneness. Mm-hmm. Will you accept the invitation? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't understand it. Well, understanding is not required. Well, my family doesn't understand. Understanding is not required. Acceptance is. You have to accept the invite. Don't try to figure out how he's going to do it. Accept the invite. When in Revelation, I knock on the door. Don't figure out how to clean the house before Jesus comes in. Just open the door. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let him in, and he'll do the rest. But he's so polite.
Yes.
He's knocking.
Right.
He built the house. You know? But he's like, I'm knocking. Will you let me in so I can dine with you? Dine is fellowship.
Yes.
I want to relate with you. You don't know who you are. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you how you're going to change the city. During the worship, I didn't see this. I saw cities around the world. I saw the vibrations, the frequency, changing and adding to other people's sounds in other countries. Mm-hmm. What you do here adds to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a recipe. No one in their right mind says, I got my Betty Crocker recipe, I got the box, and I guess that's all it is. You need some eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So some of you are the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are the butter. Some of you are the oil.
Mm-hmm.
How much oil is needed? Not a pound.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit, but it's all needed.
Mm-hmm.
So the sound from here mixes with another sound, and a cake comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do your part, there's some hungry people going, man, Lynchburg let us down again.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't release their part. They released their eggs. They released their sound. We're a body fitly joined together. Mm-hmm. Every need should supply. We need all the parts. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think my little thing, when I wake up in the morning, when I step into the kingdom, I don't think that's very much. I'm just practicing. When you step in, you engage all the angelic. You have a million angels waiting for you to step in. So now they can do what they're going to do. They're waiting for you. Mm-hmm. And you and you and you. Well, I don't think it's much because you're looking in the natural.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We walk by faith, not by
sight.
Mm-hmm. Right? So Ethan taught me that. He did the thingy. Mm-hmm. You know what? Sight. Oh, yes, thank you. So he was my cute guy, right? And so, but if you live by your natural, you won't do jack. Right? You'll spectate, you look at other people, but if you start trusting the invisible, mm-hmm. I taught last week that we need to be more comfortable in the invisible than the visible.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
Mm-hmm. We need to be more comfortable in the invisible than the visible. Okay. Now, we're all born in a natural world, so this is our but when the baby starts to walk, they don't walk very well. They fall down, when no one laughs, the baby falls down, they go, oh, honey, they help them up. In the spirit realm, we laugh at our brothers and sisters all the time. We don't encourage them. They're trying to figure out how to use their giftings, and we laugh at them, we belittle them, we kick them out of the church, we kick them out of the dungeon, until you straighten up and be normal.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. But he's trying to figure out how to function in this weight and armor and stuff, you know? And we go, we laugh. We belittle. We write books and articles about these people. We're trying to figure out how to be mighty in God. Right? They've got a little... They got a little spark in them. They have the divinity in them. But are we blowing on it to increase the flame? Jesus, I said, fire on the earth to be blazing.
Yes.
Are your brothers and sisters blazing? Well, they need to get on with it. You need to breathe life into the flame.
Oh,
now that's a good word.
You need to breathe life in the flame. The breath of God, hey, is the breath of God.
Hey,
it is.
Come on.
When the Hebraic culture, so Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey is in there twice, right? And in my drum book, I play Yod, Hey, Vav on my drums, right? Mm-hmm. But when I pray in tongues, when I do the Yod, Hey, Vav, I go Yod, Vav. Mm-hmm. They think of his breath. If you realize you're breathing in him. And he's in you, it changes everything. You're never alone. But will you tap the giant bodyguard in you? What does it say in Psalm 24? Lift up your head, O you gates. You got to do something. That the King of Glory may come in. Mm-hmm. So if you don't lift up your head, the King of Glory is bound in you.
Wow.
Right? You're holding God captive. Dude, let him out. Come on.
Jesus!
Well, I'm afraid what people think. So am I. Fear of man. I was at a conference in, where was I at? A secular conference in Orlando. And I was not the keynote speaker, I was one of the mini speakers. And I was preparing that morning in my hotel room there in the nice Disney World place. And I had this thought. It wasn't a prayer, it was a thought. I thought, God, what would it look like if you showed up at my secular conference in my session? And I was feeling pretty sad for myself because that year I was my second time speaking at this international national forum. The first year I had like 60 people hear me speak. You know, this year I had only 30 something that signed up. I thought I'm better this year, and I was feeling kind of pity. You know, like. Well, I guess I'll go speak to 30 people. I thought I'd have maybe 50, 70, you know. So I'm pondering this deal, and I go, God, what would it be? Now, I'm still learning how to have God be in my secular life, you know, and not just on my Sunday or my speaking stuff. You know, I don't know if you guys do that. God, stay here. I'm going to go play football. God, stay here. I'm going to the office. I'll be back to talk to you later, but you stay right here. Don't stay here. Don't come to my hair salon. Just stay right here. I'll be back. I'll talk to you later. Mm-hmm. Stay there. So that's kind of a dualistic view. Mm-hmm. I live my life, and then I'll be a Christian. I'll be one with them later on, right? So here I'm in this, my professional world, and I'm pondering the thought of, what would happen if you come with me? And then I say, okay, look, don't throw him on the floor, because I couldn't handle that. that's why I ponder, because I'm thinking, like, they throw him on the floor, the police will come, and they'll blame me, and I don't know what to do with that part, right? Because my company paid me to fly down there, and how do you explain that? So I go, okay, show up, do anything you want, but don't throw him on the floor. So it was a stray thought. It wasn't a prayer, it wasn't a request, it was just this wandering, wild thought. And I finished typing up my thing and changing my PowerPoint and stuff. I go to the meeting, and I'm still thinking, like, I can't believe it. So I went to the meeting early and took down all the chairs, because it looks bad when you have 100 chairs and only 30 people. Right? So that I don't want to do it. So I had to move the chairs, you know, stacked them up. And, and the room, looked on the wall, it says room capacity 140. I've got 39 coming. Chairs are going to go. Yeah. And so I do that, and I go in the main room for the keynote speakers, and that year, it was the Property Brothers, you know those guys?
Yeah.
So they're not very good project managers, but they were the keynote speakers. So I'm out there going, like, I know you guys, I'll watch you guys on TV. Yeah. So I'm in the back of the room, because my session is after their session, right? Well, their big session, then all the little sessions start, right? So I'm in the back of the room, you know, and this lady comes in late, and she's like, and she says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. That's okay. I said, I'm so late, I haven't even picked any classes. And I go, well, I know a class that's really good. It's going to happen right after this. And she goes, really? You know, oh, yeah. And I'm, duh, duh, duh. And I go, I tell her the name of the class. She goes, oh, I looked at that. That looks boring. So, stop. And I was like, why do you say that? And she goes, well, that class looks to be about, she described it. I go, where'd you get the description from? So I read the description. I said, oh no, I wrote a bad description. Therefore, bad descriptions mean people don't come to something stupid, right? I said, no wonder no one's coming, because they think it's about this topic, but it's about a cool topic. But I wrote it up bad, so that's it. So I go, so the property brothers, they finish. I walk to my meeting. You know, I'm sure the 30 people were not going to even come to that. So I go in there, and I'm explaining to my, they give me a little assistant to announce who I am. Like, you know, I explain to the person that it's going to be a small group, and it'll be kind of, you know, the wrong topic, and I'll get better. And so I'm downplaying it, and apologizing. And then, so I'm talking this way, there's the room's back here, and I'm talking to this lady. And I said, so say this about me, and I know I'll probably have to explain to people that who came for the boring topic that I'm going to speak on this. So I hate rejection, so I'm going to turn my back to them so they can leave and not feel bad. Because you leave, if you ever leave one of my meetings, I actually make you feel bad. Like, are you leaving? Did God tell you? I mean, I'm sorry bad at that. To a Christian one or a secular one. So, and but if people leave them, and I feel bad, I'm like, you know, they leave them in the droves, right? So, so I tell this lady to do that, and then I turn around to see my 30 people, and the room is packed.
Oh.
And, I mean, they're getting chairs out. There's only standing room only, and I'm thinking, like, oh no, they came for the boring message, not my message, right?
Oh God!
Oh no! And so I. So then as I'm trying to figure out how to tell these people politely that I'm not speaking about this, I'm speaking about this, and it's okay to leave my session to go to a better one, the one you really want to go to, because it's not, you know. So then as I'm thinking about that, this guy comes to me and says, hey, where do I set up the video camera? I said, the video camera for what? I'm filming your session. I said, why? Because they told me to. I said, are you filming other sessions? Nope. Filming yours. I go, I'm looking at this guy and going, why? He goes, I don't know. Where do you want me? And I'm up in my jacket. Is this jacket look good in video or not? That wasn't ready for video. Like, so he looks at me like I'm a fool. And he goes and sets up this thingy. So now there's people in the room that cannot be here for me because they're confused. Right?
Oh, no.
And so the lady introduces me and I
go,
no,
you think? Way too much.
I do think way too much. That's the problem, right?
He knows that.
And so
So I'm standing in front of this people who are, there's no seats. I mean, they're standing, right? There's seats and standing. And we're way past 140. We have seats, and they're standing, and I'm like going. Now, I've forgotten I asked God, right? Totally forgotten. So I say, hey, I'm glad you're here. You're probably at the wrong session. So I'm going to turn my back, and you guys can leave and go to the right session so you don't feel embarrassed about this. And I'll feel better about myself because I don't like you rejecting me. Because I'm really a good speaker, but you probably didn't come for me. So I turn my back. Yes.
Oh, God.
I said, okay, hurry up and leave. I turned back and no one left. I said, okay, well, okay, I gave you a chance, right? So my meeting was supposed to be 70 minutes or whatever. At the 70-minute mark, and this was also before lunch, I said, hey, this has been great, better than I expected. Wow, a lot of engagement here. So, but we're going to have to end it. And this guy stands up, we don't want to go! We want more time! I'm like, and these are professional people who are now mobbing me, right? I'm like, okay, and I yell back, if you want more time, then you tell the people to bring me next year for 90 minutes. Well, a year later, I was there for 90 minutes. I was in San Diego for 90 minutes. But I was speaking back, but not... I didn't know what I was going to say. So I said, well, okay, well, if you want to stay, you can stay, but lunch is starting now, and I don't want to keep lunch from you, you know. No one, like one person left. I'm like, going, well, what do we do now? We're not done. We want to hear more from you and them. And I'm like, okay, well, let's. So it was just this wild thing that happened. I was like, going, so I left the deal, didn't understand what happened. And then a few months later, I was talking to a friend of mine in New Zealand. I told her about it, and she goes, that's simple. I go, please, old oracle of God, tell me what happened. She goes, Wally, the life of God in you is so attractive to people who are dead. Mm-hmm. You decided to let them out, and they came. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's easy. But I didn't understand how to work with the Lord, right? I thought it was a weird thing that they were like, they were drawn to something they didn't know they were drawn to.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the fire. Mm-hmm. You make a bonfire, people come out of nowhere to a bonfire. Right? If you let the blaze of God burn in you, forget words. It's not about the words. Oh. It's about the fire.
Oh.
I don't know what I'd say. Don't say anything. Just let him burn. Mm. You know? Add fuel to the fire. What? Blow on it? Let the Holy Spirit blow on the fires in you. And let it kindle to a blaze. But I don't know that I can control it. Like, I couldn't control my fire in my backyard. You could control your fire. It's not about controlling it. God knows what he's doing. This is where we have a problem. When the fire starts burning and hotter, we go, and we either put it out, right? We either put it out, or we run away from it.
Yep.
And if you study, I haven't done a whole lot of study revivals, but if you study revivals, when it gets to a point, we freak out. We go back to human,
and then we close.
And we make a denomination,
or
we close it down, or we say something about it, or we try to make it normal again.
Right.
You know? Because we're trying to control it. Mm. We don't ask God, who is the fire, what do you want to do? Mm. Okay? That's the point. The relationship doesn't stop once the fire gets high. That's when it begins.
That's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
When it starts blazing, it's way beyond what you expected. Mm-hmm. You have to go deeper in him. This word shin also means press. You got to press in. You want a hotter fire? Press in more. If you read the scripture on fire, if you read it level one, you're like, oh, fire is good, fire is good, fire is good. But if you press in for deeper, he'll give you more. Okay? And there's just so much more that he wants to show you, right? Mm-hmm. My gifting imparts revelation, but you need to take the revelation that's embedded in you and go, Father, what did I receive today? Mm-hmm. What do you want to show me? I know what you started to show me. That's the flame. Mm-hmm. Can you blow in this Holy Spirit to make it a blazing flame? Mm-hmm. Then you go, how do I keep burning? Many believers, they start off, Woo! But they forget to ask about how do I fuel this thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do I keep going when there's no oxygen around me, when they're trying to put me out?
Yeah.
Right? Well, and then he'll say, like, well, don't use their air, get mine. Well, how do I do that? We don't ask, we just run away in fear, right? And we blame somebody or we get new names for it. I'm in the dark night of the soul. I'm in the desert season. I'm in isolation. Okay, those are all true. Those are all excuses.
Yeah.
Now, they're nice excuses. I mean, there's books all around this. God conference on it. But I'm telling you, he never goes away.
Right.
He is able. He wants to make you able.
Yes.
But the people, we're not talking about the people. We're talking about our God. So if you focus on the people, you'll be dismayed, upset, frustrated, rejected, exposed, right? That's because your relationship with them is so big. And you're like, but why do we need fellowship? Yes. But if your fellowship with the Father is at this level, and all of a sudden you get all these other people, all of a sudden you're the same level, right? Now, all of a sudden you have a ministry, whether it's talking to one person or 2,000 people. But if you don't increase this, they will snuff you out. They'll take all the fire over here. You'll get drained. You'll be like going, I have no life in me.
Right.
It's because you didn't draw more life from him. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. And the power of his might. The Amplified says, draw from my unbounded might. Draw. And when I read that word a long time, a year ago, I immediately saw a well, like the, you draw water up. No one, when you throw the bucket goes down like this. And also the bucket's full of water. It is effort to crank it back up. Many believers don't crank at all. They just go, I threw my bucket in the well. Well, they found the well. That's a big deal, right? They got the bucket. That's a big deal. But to crank it up, that refreshing water, they stop cranking or they get distracted and the thing goes back down. And they go, well, maybe I don't need that. And they die of thirst.
Yeah.
Okay? Jesus. We need the living water. The word Adam is three letters. It is anyway, so it's Aleph again, the God part, Dalet, and Mem, which is something like that. That's bad. But Mem is water. Okay? You will die without the living water. Okay? You can't be a man, a woman, or a God without the water, him, and Dalet, the reason why it's earth, it's the four corners of earth. That's why it's the ground thing. So it's still four. Well, the way they think of the ground is the four corners of the earth. So that's how they get the ground part to it. So it's divinity, it's earth, and it's water, right? So, but the thing is, we need water. You cannot live without water. But us Christians try to live in the living water, okay? And we got to do whatever it takes to draw from his well of life. And, you know, and if you can do, some of you more healthy people know about the right pH balances in water, you know, and I can go to 7-Eleven and buy water, or I can go someplace else and buy water that's at 7.0, or I can get a 7.5, or I can get an 8.0, or I can get a 9 water. But it's about what water do you want? Many Christians will settle with tap water. Tap water life. Yeah. But if you want the life, you need to go for that 9.0 God.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, I'm at 7-Eleven now, they don't have that. Go across the street, extra effort to get that living water, right? But I don't have the time. Okay, then settle for less. We got to stop settling,
right?
Well, I did my devotional for 30 minutes a day, and I go to church regularly. Okay, are you living? Is there something breathing on you? Well, aren't they supposed to? If they're not doing their job, you need to go where there's life. Are you saying leave my church? I'm saying go where the life is, right? Well, maybe I'm supposed to be here. Okay, if you're supposed to be there and they're all dead, then you better tap into something that you can be alive there. I worked at a Christian bookstore,
I lived in California, and I would pray in tongues all the way there, at a 30-minute drive. I got there, and I was excited to be there. I was in the back room. I was the book guy. They'd come back and order. But I'd be so excited to come back there and say, I need this book. And I would show them other books in the store. And my manager's like, you're supposed to stay behind there. I go, I can't help it. I want to serve, you know. Now, I'm in a Christian bookstore. I'm going, no, we don't serve here. Get back there. I'm like, we don't serve here for Christians. And we're trying to, aren't we Christians? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, we're Christians. We're not really Christians. Well, yeah, we are. Well, we are, but we got to make a business. And so, but I kept coming out in the back room. So he finally said, okay, look, that ain't going to work. They made me on the floor, and I was the Bible guy. All right? So I was the Bible sales guy. I was like, yes, I'm selling the Word of God, you know. So, and then at the bookstore, I was allowed to bring books home, you know. So I'm like, and I'd bring them back. And, but I was happy there, and I realized everyone else wasn't happy. And what was going on was, when you go there, when you serve, you're pouring out. 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 If you keep pouring out and not being poured in, you are dry. And it sneaks up on you, just like dehydration. If you go outside right now and dance for 3 songs and no water, you don't actually realize how dehydrated you are, right? In the Christian life, the devil says, no, don't rest. Oh, you better go feed some more people. You better go do some more. But if you don't replenish, because that's the strategy. You have to stay in rest, full of love, full. You have to be full, not half full, full. If you're not full, you shouldn't minister. That won't sell very well. Okay? If you're not full, you shouldn't minister, because what's going to happen is you're going to start hating the people you're ministering to, because they are rightly pulling from you. Now you despise them. How dare you pull? Because now you have a poverty mindset. You've got a limitation, right? You're not tapping into the unlimited. You're staying with your reserves. And then once you go on, you know, low, you feel that going out and you blame them. How dare you pull for me? Well, I thought you were, I am here, but not, you're taking too much. Well, it's only too much if you're not tapped into the all source, right? The unlimited supply. So we have to be careful. And that's why we need each other around us to say, hey, Ethan, man, you have 3/4 tank. You want to come over here and level you a little bit. Fill your tank a little bit. Thanks, brah. Because I got to go do this youth thing in a week, right? I need to be fully up and tapped in and reminded that after a 14-hour day, you know, I need to go draw, right? Right?
Yeah.
You know? But if you don't know you're supposed to, you don't get in the habit of doing it, you'll be weak and get taken out by the enemy. Okay? And that's not the goal, right? And there's many people who died in ministry because they weren't full. But they were, no, I'm supposed to give and give and give and give and give and give. But yes, as long as you're full, right? But once you're past empty, you're now giving up your life says. Yes, people are dying in ministry because they're not receiving the flow in, right? They're doing everything else right. Right heart, but they've lost the tap in, you know, and then they're doing things for God instead of with Him, right? And that's a really deceptive thing, you know. With Him is He's right here. If you need wisdom, He's right there going, you know, what do you need? Well, what do I do with that person? Okay. I mean, it's that relationship that's always, you're always engaged, right? Yeah. You're not running back home and saying, hey, God, did you see what happened today? Did you see what happened today? I was there. Why didn't you ask me when we were there? Oh, I thought you were busy, you know. So, all right, back to fire. Well, what are we at? What is fire? Yep. Did Abraham stuff. So it was interesting that fire actually is not a substance. It's actually the result of a process, right? So when I was trying to apply that to, well, you said God is fire. Well, yeah, God is spirit. He's not a substance that we can touch and mold and control, right? Like, you can't control fire, really, you know. You need to understand fire, but you really can't control it. But so I was like, okay, if fire is not a substance, then I thought it was cool. I thought it was like live. You know, I was going on that path. And it's like, but Google and Wikipedia says, nope, it's a process. I go, well, I'm not sure I can use this in Lynchburg if it's not what I thought it was. So I was like, So, let me read this to you. Fire, in fact, is a substance. When you gaze at the leaping flames of a campfire, you're observing not an object, but a process. It's a chemical reaction. And I was like, you're blowing my spiritual thing here. I'm trying to talk about the living flame, you know. And it's a process. I don't have to do with that. And so it's a chemical reaction, just like when you cut an apple and it goes brown after a while, that oxidation, same process. I'm going, so that's going more and more natural, right? So this is blowing my teaching. I'm thinking, the Lord says, keep reading. I'm going, it's messing me up. I was very spiritual earlier, but now I'm back to a chemical reaction and natural. I want to delete this part of the teaching here. He says, no, don't delete it yet. Keep pressing in. So when he said process, now for years, I know that we're in a process, right? We're going from glory to glory. It's a process. From strength to strength. It's a process. Key is you got to stay in the process. Some of us go, I've reached high level glory. I can stop now. No. Okay. Now, when you reach a pinnacle, so when you've overcome something, you kind of want to rest and go, finally got here. Took a while. I'm just going to stay right here. That's called camping, and you'll get messed up. Okay? You can't camp at a place. You keep going, the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's about movement. It's no stopping. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so, I'll tell you. Good story, best story. So, we're all, a common thing in the body of Christ is, you know, we battle, you know. We all know that. That's a common thing. Even people who don't believe in spiritual things realize there's a battle on something, right? And so, so we all know that. And then I love movies where the hero wins. So I can relate to that. And then as an athlete, I like being victorious, right? So all these things are big in the kingdom. So yay, kingdom. So I'm always looking for a way to be stronger or faster in the kingdom, well, natural and physical things. So I'm looking for those ways, right? So 4 years ago, maybe five, I heard about the armor of God, not just the helmet shield thing. I heard about the mantle of righteousness and mantle of light. And I never heard of those before. And I thought, huh. Let's try these out, you know, not just try, because trying is bad, you need to do. Don't you try, do. So I was doing this process. I was putting on the armor of light for 21 days. I was putting on the armor of might for 21 days. I was putting on the armor of righteousness for 21 days. That's a lot of time. 21 days times 3 is 63. Then you put on all 3 for 21 days. And I'm like, oh, what? So this teaches on my podcast. But I did this discipline thing for... I lost count, so I added some more days just in case, you know. And so way over 80 days, I'm doing this thing. So now when I'm very experimental. So if I do something, I expect a result, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm putting on this light, and this might, and this righteousness, okay, was this something fun for 80 days? Or what can this do? So in my little room, I said, okay, done the process. Let's go try this out. I said, angels. Let's go find a demon and see if this stuff works. So I had these two angels. I said, okay. And I looked at them and go, where do you guys go to practice? They didn't say anything. I said, surely there's a place where you go and use your stuff, to, like a little sparring area, you know. I want to see if this stuff works. They didn't say anything. I said, fine. If you don't have a place, I know a place. Y'all talking that to your angels, right? I know a place. Let's go to Bogota, Colombia, where the drug lords are. There's going to be some demons to play with there. So now most of my life, I've been running from demons. Now I'm looking for a demon to see if this works, right? And so in my imagination or the spirit, whatever, I'm in Bogota looking for a demon. And I can't find a demon to try my new armor on, you know. And I'm looking everywhere. I'm thinking, sure, in the drug capital of the world, there's got to be a bunch of demons hanging around going, we're killing people. Yes, we are. You know, I'm going to go kill them. But I don't find any. I go, I know. I'll go to the church. There's more demons in churches than on the streets. There's more demons in churches than in bars.
That's very true.
That's just true. Okay.
I pretty much believe that.
And so I go to this big old-looking church, and I can't find a demon. And I'm just mad. I'm in this little
deal. You're in the spirit.
And I can't find a demon. I'm thinking, how come they're always everywhere when I don't want to be there? Now I can't find one, right? So I come back from my little exercise just frustrated. Just like, I can't believe I can't find a demon. Then I finally ask God, you know, because I've been doing this on my own, and me and the angels and stuff and stuff. And I go, excuse me, how come I can't find a demon? And when you ask God in faith, he answers back. And he goes, it's because they're afraid of you. I said, what? What do you mean, what? He says, well, the armor of light is bright. Armor of might is just bulky. The armor of righteousness is Jesus. Jesus is your righteousness, right? So when you put on Jesus, the demons were seeing Jesus. Okay? So he's telling me this. I'm going, and? Why can't I find a demon looking like Jesus? He goes, and he reminded me of the scripture. Remember when Jesus gets out of the boat and the Gadarenian demoniac comes up to him?
Mm-hmm.
And the demons say, Jesus, what do you have to do with this now? You know, why you come to hinder us before our time?
Mm-hmm.
So that scripture's picture is in my mind right there. I go, I don't understand what that means. And the Lord goes, the demons know that Jesus can end their time on earth. They know Jesus can. And they only have a limited amount of time. And so they want to do whatever they can do, you know, but they knew Jesus could stop their time. So when you showed up looking like Jesus, they weren't sure, but they didn't want to take a risk of them ending their time. So they ran away from you. I said, so I'm listening to this in my head, and I'm like, why? So my translation was, are you saying that I've reached level 47 where the demon free zone? Now, I said that. The guy didn't say, yeah. He just, you know, he let me do my little deal. So I said, thank you, I got it now. And for the rest of the week, I was like, I am the man. Demons are running from me because I'm now hit the process, and I'm now at this level, right? And so all week long, I was so fearless and so confident because I now obtained the level. And so most of my time, you know, like most of the weekends is where my God time is, right? So so on Saturday, I was going to report back to God how cool it was to be at this level. And I was like, Father, this is so cool. I have no enemies. They melt like wax before me. They run. And I'm just going on and telling him how it is, like he doesn't know how it is. Because, right? You know, God's undefeated, right? You know? And so I'm having this time report, and I get done, and I'm waiting for him to say, I'm glad you finally arrived. God, we need more people at this level. Da, 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 da. I'm waiting for that pat in the back. And he says, so, you think that's all there is? I go, what? He goes, oh, there's far bigger things than demons out there. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh! And I start freaking out because I was walking around like there was nothing out there. And I said, God, why did you tell me? Well, you were just so full of yourself. You were just out there doing it, you know? I said, time? What do you mean there's bigger things out there? I mean, they're in the Bible, demons, you know, this, demons. And he goes, well, there's other things that we need to take care of. Oh, so then right then I calmed down. I said, okay, what's going on here? And deep inside, the Lord said, you're trying to be independent of me.
Mm-hmm.
Maturity is growing more dependent upon me.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll never get to a place in glory or the power or authority or the might where you don't need that relationship, that love from the Father. It's always dependent. And you can go on Facebook or whatever right now and talk to people about once you get here, there's more, okay? But the Lord showed me I thought I got where I didn't need Him in an area of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You need God in every area of your life, yeah. Always.
Yeah.
Right. Now the need will change, but there's always a dependency.
Yes.
And my new definition of maturity is growing ever dependent upon Him. You're never independent. No matter who you are, what you overcome, you're still need that same childlike, Papa, can you help me swing dependency. The change my diaper, I can't do it myself dependency. Okay? Now, at the same time, your dependency changes. Now, you're not going to ask God to do certain things, but you still need Him, right? Mm-hmm. You're not an island to yourself. You're not a son of God to yourself, whatever self thing is. But you're going to be mighty. But, you know, so my... There's some demons that I don't deal with anymore, but there's other things I deal with, mm-hmm. right? And so it's not like I thought I got into the no problem zone. And for a week, it was like everything was great, you know? And then I had the... He revealed to me there was more things. I was like, oh, so I still need you? Yeah. You're never not going to need me.
Right?
Yeah.
For those people who may or may not understand what you mean about... You were going places like, oh, I'll go to that city where all the demons were. Some of us might not practice that like you do all the time and might be new at it. So would you explain in a, you know, short way
process?
Because it might sound a little weird, you know.
Well, it is weird. Even if you do it, it's weird. So,
yeah. That's what I thought.
So, So if we believe that God is God, okay, and if we believe God the Spirit, and we believe there's another realm that we can't see, then we have to believe there's lots of realms, right? And so my degree is engineering. So I need to see it. I'm a very material touch guy. So I'm not I have friends that have always been spiritual, and I thought they were weirdos, okay? And matter of fact, it's only been... 7 years that I've been where I actually believe in really the spirit realm, mm-hmm. and not afraid of the spirit realm. Okay, we're supposed to be as active in the spirit realm as we are in the natural realm.
Yes, sir.
I was afraid of the spirit realm because I thought, what's going on over there? Mostly because I'd fed myself all these horror movies, and you never win the movies. You know, Exorcist, the godly guy gets his neck twisted, and the demons win. You know, it's just so. That was that realm over there, right? So, I love the Bible. I'm well versed and well read and well studied. And if you look at, if you do a Google search on the Bible, which you can now, or your concordance, look up the word imagination. Okay, and the first place of imagination is when Jesus comes down. God comes down and says, to Babel. It says, because of their imagination, because of their unity and what they can think about, their imagination, they're unstoppable. So we have a bad understanding of imagination. God has an amazing appreciation of imagination. So in God's book, imagination is good.
Yes.
On planet Earth, depending upon where you're born, imagination is silly. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have imaginary friends. And that's how I grew up. I grew up that silly. There's no imagination. There's practical. Yeah, now, I did go into comic books and movies. Mm-hmm. That was my deal. But I know people that don't spend your time in imagination. Be real. Get your head out of the clouds. That kind of thing, right? So you shut down your imagination.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with a shut down imagination.
Right.
And did not go out there. And people who did go there in their imagination, I thought, dude, let's be real. Mm-hmm. You know. But everyone who's changed the world... is out there. Okay, if you want to change the world, you got to be different. Okay, so along my life, I'm going like, no, no. Then I meet people who, what I hated all of life was people who did spiritual things and say, I went to Columbia and the angel, da, 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 and would never tell me how they did that. And I go, what do you mean you went to Columbia? And they go, Jesus loves you, and they leave. And they go,
yeah.
I go, and I go, like, and I go, no, you didn't. Because you couldn't explain to me. I go, no.
Yeah.
Spiritual? No. No. Because they wouldn't explain anything. They'd say, and God loves you, and they leave. And I go, what does that mean? So I shut that down big time. Because it was I call them flakies.
Flaky. Or spiritual, you rationalize it away.
Mm. No.
Rational.
And now the Bible you read is also, they kind of taken a lot of the spiritual stuff out of it. You know. And they made it digestible the best they could. Right. Anyway. So on my little journey through life, I'm meeting people who are doing stuff that they can't explain, and I'm going, well, you're not really doing it. And if you're doing it, you're doing it in your head, so thank you very much. And so, but then I read the Bible, and it says, God's going like, oh, because of their imagination, nothing will stop them. Then in the New Testament it says, ask me, and I'll do above all that you think or ask, or imagine. I go, what is this imagine thing again? Your imagination here? What? Who are you to think this is important? My dad told me, my earthly dad told me, that this is not going to take anywhere. But my heavenly father's talking about imagination is pretty, you need to, something about that. And so, so as time goes by, I spend some time learning how to meditate. The Lord goes, your mind is so busy, you can't focus on anything. I go, I can't. Squirrel, you know, I'm just like this, right? And I'm always thinking all kinds of stuff. He says, you got to, and the scripture says, you know, David in Psalm, one thing I desire. I go, how can you desire one thing? There's so many things. And the Lord goes, you can't focus on anything. Even if I spoke to you and appeared to you, you couldn't focus on that. I go, really? I'm that bad? And I change topics. Oh, I am. I couldn't focus on it. So he goes, you need to learn to meditate. I go, it's new age. Meditation is new age. And he goes, anyway, Google meditate. So I Googled, and it was like, new age. He goes, okay, go to that site there. And it was like 7 steps to meditation. And steps 1 through 6 were good. Step 7 was demonic. The guy goes, do 1 through 6, not 7. But 6 is very close to 7. So my fear. And then 5 is close to 6. And maybe they're contaminated. You know, really, I'm thinking of that. And he's like, stop that. Just do 1 through that. Okay. I'm learning to trust you. All right. Yes. Now, when I say learning to trust him, for years or decades, did not believe that God, who's a spirit, because the Bible says that, dealt with really people. He dealt with special people. He dealt with Jesus and Billy Graham. And my grandmother. Okay, there's a few people on the planet, right? And I thought they all performed, qualified. You know, I didn't know about his love or grace. I told you guys, grace teaching wasn't, you know. If it was out there, I was like this, you know. So again, so when I started to honor my imagination, okay, when I started to honor and think that there's something good, you know, we talk about a redeemed imagination. So I thought, okay, let's do that. Okay. So then as I started studying imagination, and then I, the Lord said, okay, you need to go to this church here. And I'm like going, what do you mean he said? Well, okay, I have a thought. I'm very smart. I'll take that thought, compare it against all these other thoughts I have, and I go, well, it's a good thought, and I'll do it. I don't say, it's God speaking! You know, I don't say that. I go, I hear a thought. If it's God, cool, whatever. It's a unique thought. I know my thoughts, and I know these other thoughts. Some, the ones that say, go kill yourself, that's not for me. I know God's life, so I'm thinking, not me, not God, not good. Come I'm not going to do that one, right? Yeah. So hearing his voices are thoughts in your head, right? And over time of discerning those thoughts, discerning is meaning picking and choosing.
Discerning.
It's picking and choosing, right? You try it out. You don't do thoughts that say, jump over the river. Start with the, go talk to the person. You do it. It's good. You go, okay, I'll trust that source. And you keep trying it out, right? That's how you learn his voice. My sheep know my voice. But it's by practice. It's not by, you don't, no one knows, other than my wife, she knows, but that's totally weird. But most people don't know, right? You have to learn by experience. So I'd hear these little thoughts in my head, think, that's odd, I'm not going to do that. So I was a big no guy forever. And then I thought, trust and see, taste and see, the Lord is good. Okay, well, I'll try that one. And I'm trying, look, this is working out. I don't know why, couldn't figure it out. So again, so I was trusting my imagination, trusting these voices, thoughts in my head. They weren't voices, they're thoughts, but a thought and a voice is kind of the same thing. He's like, thoughts. And then this thought said, you need to go to this church. I visit this church for 5 years, once a year. I go to the church. Then a week after I start going to this church, out of nowhere, they have a seer's class to see in the spirit. And I'm like, Oh, I knew it. Spiritual people, flakies. I go to class, and this guy sees all the time. I mean, doesn't do anything to see. He just sees all the time. I'm like, I don't understand that. That's just beyond my rational brain, right? But remember, I'm on this little journey. I'm now into imagination's okay. God's real. He may speak to me or not. But I'm learning to trust, right? And all of a sudden, I trust him. He takes this church to go to. And then a week later, he started a serious class. Never had it before. I'm thinking, like, this is weird. So I go to the class. I love truth. I love revelation. So I will go where that is, right? So they have this class before church. And he's talking about, there's a sandcastle, there's a camel. And I'm like, what? There's nothing there. And so now it's a husband and wife. Now the wife doesn't see like he sees. She's like, she gets impressions and feelings and stuff, right? And she would take him to all these classes, because if you Google classes on how to see the spirit, they're out there, right? You can spend lots of money to learn the stuff, right? And she's dragged him to all these. And as a loving husband, he went to them all, even though he could do it already. He did it before he was saved, he did it after he was saved. Yeah. He was just seeing all the time, right? But they felt they needed to start this class at the church. So first class, and whatever. And she's not a nurse, but a nurse practitioner or something like that. So her deal was, it says in John 3 that he was born again, can see in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then, but her heart thought is, every healthy child that's born can see. So y'all are all healthy, born again believers, so you can see. And I was sitting there going, well, I can't see. I'm on the front row going, I can't see. What does that mean? So now if you go negative, you're like, I'm not a healthy child. I'm the only one who can't see. And so I had lived with the fact that it was okay I couldn't see. It was okay that I couldn't know, like my wife. It was okay. I was just explaining in my head. Well, I'm just set aside. And I'll tell you my Holy Spirit story one time about how I did it. Anyway, so class three, he says this. He says, on the right side of the room, there's a stream flowing water. I look up there and I go, nope. And on the left side of there, in the middle of the room, there are wild animals, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and tigers and wolves. They're not ferocious, but they're there. I look, nope. And next to them are silver trumpets and there's enough trumpets for everyone in the room, and your individual names aren't an individual trumpet.
Cool.
Nope, they're not. And on the far side of the room, there's an angel, your own angel personally waiting for you to talk to. I'm like, I'm not even looking over there because there's no angels in the room, right? Then the guy has the audacity to say, I'm almost where I can believe that he can see stuff, right? Okay, you're a weirdo, you can see it. He says, now get up and go experience that. Mm-hmm. And the rules are like, whoa, you can have your fantasy, right? But you're not going to make me go into your fantasy because I'm not that way. You can't talk me into Jack, right? So I'm thinking, like, this is my last class because, you know. So I get up, I go over to the river that's not there. And this lady says, oh my gosh, the water's so cold. Well, I cut my eyes at her like. So at this point in my life, you know, if you do this, you're a teacher's pet. You need affirmation, right? You know. And the other lady says, oh my God, the current is so strong. I'm like,
oh,
deep, cold and strong. So I'm looking at them going, you need love. So I go over to the wild animal area.
Oh, wild animal.
This lady's like, oh my gosh, the lion's mane is so soft. I didn't know it'd be so soft. I'm looking at her like. And she says, watch out for his teeth. They're really sharp. Then, as I'm now marked her off the list of real people, I turn my head and this lady screams, I found my trumpet! It's got my name on it! And I'm like, they've all lost it. I am not needing the teacher's approval. I'm free. I'm something, right? And so I look across the room, and there's people standing there having conversations with themselves. They're angels. And I don't even go over there. And I'm just like, well, I'm thinking, why am I here? This is this. I'm not coming to this class. Now, this church, I swear I learned to drum. Okay, this church. Worship's phenomenal. So I'm going to not come early anymore for this silly class. I'm just going to come on time. And I didn't have a drum yet. So they had 7 drums here. So the first come, first serve. So you had to come early to get a drum. Right? Yeah. So I'm going to come early, but not too early, because this class is, they're all whacked, right? He says, all right, come on back. And I'm going to front like this. I dare you to ask me what I experienced. Come on. I'm not following your little Jedi mind tricks. You know, right? There are no angels. The drones that you seek are not. Anyway, so I'm like going, my arms are folded, and this is the universal language of, I don't believe you.
Yeah, right.
Now my head's like, one. Yeah, right. You know. I'm on the front, I sit front row wherever I go, right? And I'm like, call on me. I'm going to call you out. And he calls on other people, right? Because I'm like, yeah. And everyone shares about they experienced what he saw. In my mind, that's impossible. You know, you can tell me about your husband, but I'm not going to experience your husband, right? I'm okay with, you love your husband? You give him back rub? Great. If you say, Wally, come give him back rub too. I'm like, no. So if you see something, I'm thinking, okay, maybe you can see it. But how can I engage with something you see? That's just my rules are just... So I'm thinking everyone's lying to be teacher's pet, right? To be a part of the group, you know. So class ends, and I'm like, never coming back, you know. Go to church, awesome worship, but not this class, right? So I'm stacking the chairs, turning around to face the deal. And the lady comes and says, Wally, how's class? Well, I lied. Well, great. Oh, my God. I am learning so much. This is one of the best classes I've ever had.
You lied a lot, didn't you?
Because I wanted to be accepted, you know. So you have to lie to be accepted. But I'm doing that, right? And she says, well, you know, if you're born, you can see. You know, but I can't see, right? And she's just like, all happy, you know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't want to do that. So my drive home from church is on a good night. We meet on Saturday nights. On a good night, it's
dimly under the basket.
30 to 40 minutes. On a traffic night in D.C., it could be an hour and a half or whatever. I left on a traffic night. On the whole way home, this voice in my head said, why don't you see? Now I'm thinking I'm being tormented. Like, why don't you see? Why don't you see? Why don't you see? And I'm like, I can't see! I'm yelling in my car. And I can't see! Why don't you look? If I could see, I would look. Why don't you look? I can't see! If I could see, I'd look! For an hour and a half, I'm having this battle. Now it's out of my head. I'm yelling in the car, right? And then all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, the voice is asking me to look to see, and I'm saying, I can't see, so I'm not going to look. Hour and 25 minutes of, I'm not going to look because I can't see. The voice is saying, look and you'll see. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, you're saying look. Well, I can look. I'm not going to see anything, but I can look, you know. And so all of a sudden I realize it's by faith, not by sight. So then I realized, wait a minute, this whole thing is based upon believing it's there, and then it's believe first, then you see. But the emphasis is on belief. I was marking on both, no believing, no seeing. And the voice is saying, believe. So I come back to class the next week. We only had like, it was like 8 classes or whatever. Now I didn't see anything next week. But now I was focusing on believing. Okay? Watch this happen. For the first time in my life, I stopped doubting every prophetic word I gave. I would hear something I knew was God, but I go, that means that God meant. But that day, I stopped doubting and started believing. I became a believing believer. I started acting on believing.
That's a good word, right there. Okay?
So that first class on seeing, I learned 2 things. One, I can be able to believe in things I don't see and trust in the invisible and the unknowable. And I can have a relationship with that. So now I got to where spirit was okay. Right? And I got to where I was not ashamed of talking about things I thought about, things I imagined. Right? And this is only 6 years ago. Right? So 2 years later, when I start talking about I went to Bogota, Colombia, I don't care whether it's really there in my imagination. It doesn't matter because I believe it. It's not about the going, it's about the believing. Okay? Believing first, reality second. But if you don't believe, you're not going to have these realities. Right? So, long way to get to where I now can say stuff and not be afraid of what you think about what I'm saying. But because of my gifting, I can now teach you, unlike all the other people in my life who just said stuff and they leave the room and I go, I have a question. what do you mean by that, right? Now, I don't fault them now. I did then. I used to think they were all against me. It was a conspiracy, you know, to keep the truth from me. And so, if I have my own conspiracy, I'll keep truth from you, you know. So, I was just divide. As I'm weighing my head. So, but the reality is, we love an invisible God. And one day, we're going to spend a lot of time in a place that we can't see right now. And you can wait until then to believe, or believe now. It's our choice, right? We can believe that in this room there's air, which we can't see, but we're all breathing it, right? You know? And so, in the scripture in Hebrews 13, it says, you've entertained angels unaware, right? So, if you keep going down that path, then in this room right here, there's more than meets the eye,
yes.
Right? You know? If you believe that many verses in the Bible, you've got to believe that there's a lot of stuff going on, right? But again, you won't see until you believe, okay? So if you want to see, you got to believe first, then see. Then you find out that seeing's not important. Like, I have not seen God, but I love Him, okay? And my love for Him has changed my life. Because I love Him, I now value myself. Not based on my performance, not based on newspaper clips or trophies. It's because I know His love for me. I don't know how I know His love for me. I know it. I don't know it here. I'm a big head guy. I'm learning that. So I'm learning about, the big word is cardiogenosis, heart knowledge, versus carnal genosis, head knowledge, right? Yeah, because in your inner man, it's alive, right? And so, but it's this whole transition of, will you trust the invisible? In the beginning, nope. As I can touch it and prove it scientifically, nope. You know? But on the inside of you, you can't even prove that you're breathing. Or how the whole breathing thing works, right? Even the medical guys can't. How this whole thing works. But back to fire, right? If you don't, I walked you through that in the beginning, way before we understood stuff, He says, I'm an all-consuming fire, and fire is good for you. Well, I didn't know that until 2 weeks ago. Right? And the word shin there means press. So he said, if we press into Him, you get to know Him, right? So He's given us all kind of clues to go into more relationship with Him and more understanding Him. And that's all just in the a brief understanding of fire. But we're talking about the fire is not a substance, it's a process. And so I was talking about the process, right? What is the process? Well, there's a lot of processes in the kingdom, right? And the one that I found is in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But rather that we would... 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, it's amplified. But rather that we are setting forth is the wisdom of God, once hidden from human understanding and now revealed to us by God. I finally believe and understand that God's smarter than I am. Okay? I didn't know for a long time, but He's still smarter. And He's got things He wants to tell us, but not to her head, right? Anyway, it says, now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before ages for our glorification. That's a process. God wants to take us from this level of glory to another level of glory. This isn't our ability to jump from glory to glory. He wants to take us through this process called glorification. That's returning us to the glory that's in His eye. It's not a feeling. It's His original design. Right? So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that new creature in Christ Jesus, I call it a kainos. Kainos is new in Greek. My word is kainosapien. I just made it up one day. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. And the coming part is, Jesus came not just to save us from our sins, but to bring us back to glory. Mm-hmm. And glorification is to lift us back up from being where we are to this place of glory. Right? And that's his original intent. When you see me, you're seeing a substance. You're not seeing a substance, but the process. We are all in process. We're a work in process. Mm-hmm. And the process is called glorification. You're moving from glory to glory. And keyword, and you have to agree with the glory. You can stay at, Wally, I can see. I got 12 angels. Okay, you stopped. What are you doing with the 12 angels?
Right.
Well, I just see them. Okay. I know their names. Great. And what are you doing with them in the kingdom of God? I know lots of people are parked right there. Now, that's a great place to be because the other group is like going, I don't know if God loves me. I heard about these angel things, but I've never seen one. Therefore, I'm in confusion. Okay, well, they're parked at doubt. Okay. And my other friends are parked at, I've got 12 angels and other names. Okay. And what do you do with that? You know, what's the next step of glory in this glorification piece? As you're maturing the King, the Lord, what's going on with this deal? It's just not about seeing something and going, I see it, you don't. No. Right? That's how I thought it was for a lot. People were activating gifts and stuff. I go, okay, fine, you got it, I don't. I guess you're special, I'm not. And people teach it like that. I've got something you want. Come to my conference. Buy my book. Bye-bye. Come. And maybe you too can ascend the hill of the Lord. All right. But once you get to the top of the hill, now what? There's another hill. There's more for you to. It's not about, well, God, I thought that's all there is. There's never all there is. Right? Now, if you're doing a striving performance deal, you'll get tired. Mm-hmm. But if you flow with Him, you just go. You literally go with the flow.
Yeah.
And the flow is just saying yes. Mm-hmm. It's not like, now give me your child. No, it's just, give me your yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought believing in angels is enough. Well, that's a good start, but there's more. What do you mean? Trust me. No, I need to know. Mm-hmm. You're back to doubting again. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready now. Whatever you will. I can marry according to your word, Lord. I don't understand this, so I'm a virgin. I'm 12, 13, 14 years old. I'm going to have a child. I know not a man. According to your word. Not according to understanding. Not according to the level of glory she's at. But according to where you want to go. Where you go, I go. Again, these are all relationship terms. You're not going to go someplace with someone you don't trust.
Right.
Most of you don't, right? Hey, stranger. Nice tattoos. Can you take me down the street? You rarely do that, right? Unless someone you know tells you that's a good person. Go ahead and do that. You may, on the word of someone you trust someone you don't know. Mm-hmm. But you should never trust someone you don't know just because they're the only person there, type deal. Yeah. No? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff we're not doing because we're not secure in our relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Perfect love casts out all fear. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever not doing something you know you need to do, it means your love is low. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're afraid because you have low love. Perfect love in the relationship will cast out your fear of people, fear of the unknown, fear of doing something that you've never done before. All those fears can be removed by love. Okay? Some people don't do the love route. They just go, they do it anyway. They do something. They're totally afraid. They do it anyway. Sometimes out of obedience. Okay? Now you can do that, but it's easier out of love. Okay? Now, I've been pushed into things, physically pushed into things. I hate that because now you resent the person who pushed you. Mm-hmm. You don't want no way there, and you do it anyway. They go, well, at least you did it. Yes, but I hate you for life. You know? You know? So that's not the best deal, right? You know? But love is amazing. So, this process, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and all of us with an unveiled face, because we continue to behold, continuing to behold is a process, right? Which means I can stop beholding. If I stop beholding, I stop changing, right? Continue to behold in the Word of God as a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are constantly being transfigured. I want to be mighty in God. Okay, look at him. I want to be. Everything you want to be is in him. Mm-hmm. Just join his club called Kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. The membership's been paid, but you still have to do the exercise. Right. Health clubs, I talked to a bunch of trainers, they're like, if I can get the person into the club, that's the first step. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about the exercise. It's get you to come up, show up that day. If I can get you into the kingdom, you'll go, oh, wow, it's not so bad here. I'd heard things about it, you know. But it's that thing of, if I can get you to taste and see. But if you don't taste, you'll observe. I'm not sure what that goes. Taste. Oh, I don't know about tasting. Tasting's engaging, right? Mm-hmm. If someone ever engages with God, they'll know his goodness. They engage with Jesus, they'll know his goodness. But if they just kind of look from afar and study, they don't know they'll study, right? Mm-hmm. I did a Facebook maybe 4 years ago. I said, the first theologian was Lucifer. At one time, Lucifer had a relationship with God. They were relating. Then he decided he wanted his high place on the mountain, right? So I believe he went from relating to God to studying God. Mm-hmm. Theology is a study of God, okay? I had friends early on in my life that went to seminary, came back. They went to seminary because they loved God, came back not knowing God. That scared me. I thought the next step was to go to Bible school or something and you get better. They came back not loving God. And I barely loved God. They came back, I was like, well, I didn't understand it. I was like, you don't want to do this anymore? Nope. About this? Nope. Well, what do? I'm studying. Preparing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but there's people over there. Oh, I'm not ready for them yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm not ready for them at all, but if you're not ready for them, I'm not ready for them. But before you went to seminary, you wanted to do things for people out of the abundance of your heart. Mm-hmm. Where'd they go? Well, that's not important anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay. It scared me, you know. But it's about the love of God that could compel you to do things. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. That process and fire is oxidation. It's combining oxygen with another substance. The hay is breath. If you combine the breath of God with any substance called man, all things are powerful. And then a fire gets ignited. Right? We have to combine the this process. As wild as when the combustion process happens, light is released. You go, light? In the beginning there was light. So are you saying that, Wally, that when God said let there be light, there was a process? Yeah, because in the beginning is fire. And I showed you that Bereshit. In the beginning, there's fire. And then I said, well, there's fire is God and the Son, or is the Holy Spirit? The breath. And it says the Holy Spirit hovered over. I told Julie that the hovering is vibrating. Vibration is movement. And when breath is movement also. So without that movement of air or life, a fire cannot stay ignited. And it definitely won't grow. So we need that movement, which is breath. And the word hay is representative of breath and of movement and of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So to say a blazing fire, just not a little flickering fire, we need the breath of God, which is the Holy Spirit, active in our life. And the pictorial image of the Holy Spirit is a man. It's a man. So you need a man active in your life, which again is relationship, right? There's no solo mighty people of God. Now we may think they are, but when they're by themselves, hopefully they're relating to the Lord and getting refreshed and keeping their mind straight and not getting off and getting into thinking they've achieved, they've arrived, and But it's so tempting because if you start looking down at other people, you have arrived compared to them. Mm. You know, and when you finally get your house and your bills paid and you heal a few people, you think you've arrived. Because comparing to your past, you're way further ahead. Then you start reading your own press clippings and you think you're somebody, and then you get smacked. You know, either a self smack or a demonic smack. Either one, you're going to get it, right? So. So the glorification process is combining God with another substance. That substance is you. When you start understanding that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory dwells in your belly, in your inner man, you have to figure out what that means. I mean, you individually, there's not a person on earth that can explain that to you. It's like, you know, no couple can explain to somebody else how you and Dave relate. You and Dave figure that out, how you relate, right? And you have to work at it, you too. Someone else can't do it for you, right?
That's right, it's work, baby.
You know, and so, but in the kingdom of God, we think, well, I'm going to go hear Wally because he's really good and I'm going to have a better relationship with the Lord. Nope.
Nada.
Now, I may point at and hammer it, you need to spend time with God. You need to relate to Him. Now, if my hammering helps you spend time with God, okay, then good. But still, you and God figuring out what y'all do, right? Mm-hmm. How your unique dance, right? Couples dance, right? Your unique walking together. Enoch walked with God for 365 years. You cannot walk with someone without figuring them out. Because you'll push them away, right?
Come on, preach it.
So you have to. That's the right. That's the work of the gospel, is figuring out how you relate. Mm-hmm. Don't do the idea. Well, God, you're holy, and I don't want to bother you. That's how I thought. That was my beginning relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you for I was very happy and grateful for the salvation thing. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I'm glad I'm going to hell, but I know you're holy. I know I'm not. So. We didn't talk. For years. For decades. I may ask for a little help here and there, but I was trying to be good enough, because I thought, but when I, it's like one time, I thought, I had lots of rules for everything, right? So one day I shared one of my rules with the Lord. He goes, where'd you get that from? Well, everyone knows. So I said, well, God, everyone knows that if you willingly go play with demonic stuff, then you deserve what you get. I said, right, God? He goes, where'd you get that from? Well, everyone knows that. You can't be messing with fire and not get burned. Right? He goes, I never said that. Well, everyone knows if you play with demonic stuff, I actually explained to God how this works. Everyone knows, God, if you play with junk, then you're now on timeout. I can't go to you because the consequences of messing up is timeout. Don't you know how this works? Please. He goes, I never said that. I love you even when you're in the mess. No, you don't. Because I do. Well, they said that you don't. They said that my sin separates me from you. I never said that. Everyone knows that, God. I mean, I explain to God why I'm enjoying my separation. I'm not enjoying my separation, but I'm feeling like I have to be separated. I mess up, I sin, therefore I can't enjoy His goodness because I'm self-punishing. Mm-hmm. Not, God's not going, well, I can't talk to you. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the rule. So I'm going, hold on here. You're telling me if I go over there right now and sleep with that girl, that the next day I can preach the message. Well, yeah, if you preach it based off of me. Because my love for you is not based on your performance. Your good performance or your bad performance. Yes, it is. He goes, no, it's not. I go, well, what? Well, but the reason why I'm not sleeping with the girl is so that I want to preach the next day, so I'm not going to do that because I want to have a good message. Well, that's your rule. And I thought, how many rules do I have? They're not God's. I have a lot. So I'm going through this process of removing rules, right? But there's no law that supermounts love, right? 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm like going, God, I can't believe you're that good. Well, I know you can't believe that I'm that good, but you should believe I'm that good. So are you going to word give me? Yes. Why don't you believe me? Believing is trust, right? Why don't you take me at my word? Not another's word. Why don't you find out who I am? Well, that would take time. Yes, every relationship takes time. You cannot have a good relationship, a deep relationship, without a time commitment. Well, I've got to work, I've got to eat. Yeah. But when are you going to... What's the most important thing in your life? Well, whatever you want it to be. Whatever you want it to be. And you will spend time with whatever you think is important. The other way around is, God's the most important thing, but we don't believe that. Generically. Maybe you guys will do. I mean, if I really, really believed that, then I would talk to him more. Right. If I really thought he loved me and that would help me, I would spend time with him. Mm-hmm. If I really believed he was able, then I would go to the ableist. Able, the most able, right? The most ableist. And so it's very easy when you look at, when you really look at who you are and what you're doing with your time, you can go, okay, who do I trust? It's like when I went to Bible school, this guy said, whenever I need to go to a mission or something like that, I never look at my bank account because my bank account is not my Lord. Mm-hmm. My Lord tells me what to do, not my bank account. I'm like, but what if you have no money in there? And it says, you have no money. I don't listen to that Lord. I listen to the greater Lord. Mm-hmm. And my brain went like, yeah, but you still don't have any money. You know? But who are you trusting in? I would trust in my wallet. You know, I mean, I'm really honest, you know what I mean? If God says something, don't go, hold on, let me check on that.
Yeah.
But that's what I did. I had more trust in my mind, my reasoning, my abilities, my stuff, than when God would say something. Or even that little thought would say something. I go, I can't do that because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Forget asking, okay, instead of saying yes and how can we do this, I'd say, I don't think so because I've checked with this God. Bank says no. My parents say no. My wife says no. Circumstances say no. Environment says no. Visa says no. I got more no's than I got a yes. So I turned to my group of counselors. Right? You know, you need wise counsel, right? Went to my counselors. They all said no. God says yes. And I go, well, see, they said no, so I'm not going to do that. I lived most of my life like that. Until I started building a better relationship with him than them, right? You can build a relationship with whoever you want to, right? Mm-hmm. You naturally build a relationship with on your brain. Your brain was there in the beginning when you came out of the womb, and your brain said, "Hey, move those legs." Mm-hmm. And you thought, "Hey, that worked." And you built. The more time you start listening to your brain, you now trust your brain. Mm-hmm. Then when the king of kings gets in your belly, and he starts saying, go to that church. Your brain says, who's talking? Mm-mm. I'm in charge here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're okay with the heaven thingy, but you're not taking control. In one of my journals, I wrote down, dear soul, no matter how many scriptures you memorize, no matter how cleaned up you get, you're not designed to be my Lord. Mm-hmm. Only my spirit is. It'll be good for you if you would submit to my spirit. Mm-hmm. Signed, Wallet. That's in one of my journals.
Right? That's cool.
Now, but if you read the Psalms, David says, soul, why are you so down inside of me? You got to talk to yourself.
Yes.
You are a three-part being. You got to get yourself in order, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't act like you're not a three-part being. A lot of us do.
In order, that's good.
I mean, but and you have to do it.
Wally, we learned last week, I mean, I've known this a little bit from the past teachings, but other people have taught us, but we learned how to speak to our spirit man and to our soul to get behind our spirit, because we're supposed to be led by our spirit. Sons of God are led by the spirit of God in us.
So, on the fire, you know, again, way before I got this fire stuff, just, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago. But years ago, when I'd stand in line for prayer, I would, in my imagination, close my eyes, and one of my favorite superheroes is not Superman, which is one of my favorite, but is the Fantastic Four, the Human Torch. And I'd see myself just burning, I'd be a blaze of fire. And I said, Lord, just consume me with your fire. You're an all-consuming fire. And I would just see myself just burning and burning and burning. And now I know that I was trying to walk in his covenant. I didn't know then, but that's one of the great things with your imagination is you can start doing things that you can't do in the natural, mm-hmm. right? And so in the natural, I'm not a burning man. The Bible says there's a fire shut in my bones. Mm-hmm. In my imagination, I can watch the movie Fantastic Four and look at Johnny Storm and go... And then in the movie, he's in there, Reed, I can go hotter. And so when I watch this, I'm like, I want to burn more for you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And I go... You know, and I tense my muscles like I'm in priest of the fire. So in my mind's eye, I can see myself in flames, mm-hmm. right? And then when you read scriptures like in Hebrews 1, which says, you know, Jesus is the light being, I thought, what? Amplified mm-hmm. says that. I'm like, what? And then when you find out that a ball of light or fire surrounded Saul and spoke to him, you're like, so if Jesus is like that, you read scripture says, as you are, so am I in the earth. What does that mean? if you go with your undoubting but believing imagination, you can go lots of places with that, right? But to think about the fire of God, which is God, who's a fire, is in here, that's a faith thing, but your imagination can help you realize that he's alive in there. And how do I relate to him? I do this, you know, it helps me to go inside, like right? Mm-hmm. But what do you do? You have to do something to kindle that fire, right? Mm-hmm. How do you stoke the flame? How do you stir up your gift, right? What do you do to make your relationship with the Father better other than adding time? What do you do in your time, right? I remember the first time I was really provoked in this, because I didn't really have they called it back then a Devo or a DT, a devotional time. I'm at this Christian sports camp, and we're out in the wilderness, and one of the wilderness counselors says, okay, kids, so we've got 50 kids, five cabins, 10 kids per cabin, 2 counselors per cabin. We're out in the middle of nowhere. It's 50 kids, and it's 10 counselors and 5 other wilderness counselors. And the head guy goes, okay, I want you to go off in the woods and spend time with God. And I'm thinking, we'll never find them, you know? And I don't want to spend my day running around the woods looking for my kids. I'm thinking like, no, but it's too late. He's already released the kids and they're all running. And it's go find a place by yourself. Like, they're not going to find a place. They're going to go kill lizards and stuff like that. And then spend time with God. And I'm thinking like, oh, what a waste of time. Because... devotional for me was a waste of time. Because, you know, so I go off, I sit in a tree thinking, man, I'm hot, I'm scratching, itching, thinking my kids are all lost. He calls us all back, we come back, and I'm thinking, what a waste of time. All I did was sit under a tree, no liquid, no nothing, and I'm complaining, right? So then the head counselor has the audacity to say, all right, someone tell me about their time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, look at my kids, they give them the eye. Don't you raise your hand. Because the answer is, it's sweaty, these bugs, you know, we all had a horrible time, right? And you know, the Christians are, don't tell the truth, tell them what you want to hear. I saw Jesus, and Jesus really touched me during the time and the heat. That's what you're supposed to say, right? I give my kids the eye. Don't you say anything. One of my kids' hand goes up, I'm like, and the head counselor calls him, I'm like, say the I saw Jesus speech, you know. He goes, that was the worst time. I can't believe that my parents paid money for me to come out here. This is supposed to be the best camp out there. That was a waste. I thought I got burnt. I'm like, oh. Reflects back on me. He didn't understand that I taught him to say the Jesus line. I'm thinking, I'm not the worst counselor because he didn't lie correctly and play the game, right? So I'm thinking like, now he told the truth. How's his head counselor going to explain that devotional time is important? Well, we all know it's not because when he said the truth, right? So I'm like this. And the head counselor is like, he says, if your time was boring and bad and uneventful, you did not spend time with God. That went, I went, what have I been doing all this time? I've been spending time with myself and with a book. And I'm like going, I said, wait a minute here. Are you telling me he's alive? Are you telling me he's the most exciting thing out there? And if you spend time with the most exciting thing out there and your time's boring, it means, not that God's boring, it means you did not meet with him. That's haunted me from that day. It's like 1980, early 86 or 7. And so now that's my standard, right? If I leave that time, that means I didn't connect. Was I distracted here? Was I distracted here? What was going on, you know? And so my best, my newest that replaced the, okay, is Matthew 17, where Jesus, verse 1, Jesus takes James and John up to prayer, up to a mountain to pray. And verse 2 is his clothes go bright white. And then verse 3 is Moses and Elijah start talking to him. So I'm reading this over and over again, like, man, that's cool. 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 Man, and then I say, wow. Then I get, click my imagination. Wow. Then I click my imagination plus believing, wow. If it happened to Jesus, maybe it could happen to, I pause because I can't believe it for me. So then months go by and I finally say, maybe they could happen for me. And then inside of me was like, why don't you believe for that? I said, what? What? I can't believe for that. It's, why not? So my new definition of prayer and devotional time, the time with God, is Matthew 17. When I go in prayer, I expect my clothes to go bright white. I expect Moses and Elijah to appear.
Come on.
I expect the King of Glory to fly over the cloud and say, this is my son. I don't expect Peter to go, I'm glad we're here, because my one-on-one time's with me, right? So I know the group. But that's my expectation when I go to prayer. That's what I'm expecting. What are you expecting? Right? If you expect nothing from your relationship, you get nothing from your relationship, right?
Yep.
Okay? So you got to change that thing, man. I want the next step. When I got the understanding to help me reinforce that, I've been, for the last 6 years, working to remove prayer out of my vocabulary. Because prayer, the image of prayer in my mind was a bunch of old people getting on their knees and being praying and saying words and being of no effect. And I don't want to do things that are non-effectual, right? So I said to myself, okay, I no longer pray. I now engage with God. Engaging with God was more about me doing something. Praying to God was always this, it was weird.
Christians gave it a bad name.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had a bad name for it, right? So I leave my time with the Lord. I go to my wife. I go, honey, I no longer pray. She goes, don't you tell your daughter that, because that's a bad example. I said, no, I engage with God now. Well, it wasn't her revelation. She was like, well, what are you talking about? You need to go pray. No, I don't do that anymore. I engage with God. And da-da-da-da-da-da. She's like, don't tell your daughter. Just keep that between you and whoever you're talking to, right? But now that when I go to prayer, my expectation is, right? And so I haven't met with Moses yet, but I have met with Elijah, okay? And so we had a nice little chat. He says, stop coming to talk to me just to come talk to me. Go beyond that. I thought you were, that's pretty good. There's more, right?
Like, wow.
Okay, so don't stop, right? You keep moving. Movement is life, right? No movement, no life. We go from glory to glory, we stay in the process, right? We're not trying to achieve the ring to say, I've got it. It's like, no, I was there, and I was there, and I was there. And me and Dad did this, we did this, and then we went here, right? Yeah. Questions? We're not done. I mean, I'm not done.
I think they want to break
12 pages.
Lunch 1 time. O'clock, yeah.
Yeah. You want to break for lunch?
Yes. Why? My